Today is Saturday, January the 14th, 1978. This is a very sad day for me and most of the people throughout the whole world. Because, as most of you know, our beloved former Vice President of the United States, Hubert Humphrey, passed away yesterday on January the 13th. This is Percy Ross, and I am dedicating this tape to my grandchildren, Rachel Ross, Adam Ross, and Michael Ross. It was just 3 weeks ago when I last spoke with Hubert Humphrey, when the senator phoned me at my office on Christmas Day, Sunday, the 25th. Months prior to his passing, most of us knew that the end was near. It was obvious from newspaper reports and appearances on television that he was getting physically weaker and weaker. If we hadn't seen pictures of Senator Humphrey, or if we hadn't been aware of his health, and if we were only able to speak with him by telephone, no one would know that he had been ill because, to the very end, as you will notice later, Senator Humphrey spoke with optimism and always manifested supreme courage. He spoke in the same enthusiastic and exciting manner which we were all accustomed to for years. None of us could ever hope to measure up to his broad national and international stature, his esteem, his bravery, or his personality. He was an exceptional man, and history may rightfully claim that he was one of the most important political leaders of this century. Among the reasons the senator called on Christmas Day 3 weeks ago was to congratulate me personally on the Christmas party I gave for 1,050 poor and underprivileged children at the Minneapolis Auditorium the day before. I was sitting alone in my office. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. No one else was here because of the Christmas holiday. When the phone rang, I answered it and heard his voice. I was thrilled because very, very few people, except his immediate family, were able to meet and talk with the senator due to his rapidly failing health. We spoke on the telephone for about 15 minutes while I kept searching for my tape recorder. I'm truly sorry that I couldn't find one to record the first 15 minutes of our conversation when Hubert praised me with words which I really didn't deserve but sounded so great to my ears. Just prior to the conversation, which was taped, Senator Humphrey was thanking me over and over because of something I had done for him on Friday, just 2 days before this phone call, and one day before my Christmas party for the underprivileged children. It was Friday, December the 23rd, when I called the senator's home at Waverly to speak with him, to convey my good wishes for the Christmas holiday season, and invite him again to my party for the underprivileged children for the following day at the Minneapolis Auditorium. I made the call knowing very well he wouldn't come because of his illness, but I wanted to re-invite him as I had already done perhaps 3 or 4 weeks prior to this call. It was 12 o'clock noon on Friday, the 23rd, and Muriel Humphrey, the senator's wife, answered the phone. The senator was sleeping, and I did not want Muriel to wake him. And Muriel started to tell me what a terrible day she was having. That morning, she said, the ice-making machine for the family, which had been used in their kitchen for the past 7 or 8 years, had gone out of commission. Muriel went on to say that she had called practically every retail and wholesale refrigeration establishment in the Twin City area, and nowhere could she find a unit because practically all places were closed for the long Christmas weekend. She also told me that even if she could get a replacement, it would have to be a Whirlpool of the same identical model and size so that it could fit into the same location under the kitchen countertop as the other one, which had to be replaced. Muriel said she was further upset because the entire Humphrey family was coming for Christmas dinner on Sunday and she would be lost without ice cubes. I told Muriel not to worry. I would make every effort to locate a similar Whirlpool machine, the same as hers, and try to get it installed there as soon as possible. After talking with Muriel, I immediately had each of my six secretaries call every refrigeration distributor and retail store in the Twin City area, and they were instructed to call the homes of the owners if the offices were closed. By 2 o'clock, we had located an owner of a wholesale house who had an identical machine in stock. He lived in Forest Lake, Minnesota, 30 miles away, and promised me that he would leave his home immediately and would have the machine available for us at his downtown Minneapolis warehouse by 3 o'clock. That gave me exactly 1 hour to locate and hire a licensed electrician and a licensed plumber to meet me there at the warehouse at 3 o'clock to pick up the unit. I was lucky to find an electrician who had a truck and a plumber who had a license, and we picked up the unit exactly at 3 o'clock, at which time we all left for Waverly, which was about 40 miles away. We arrived at the Humphrey household at about 4:30 and were greeted by Muriel, Senator Humphrey's doctor, and his nurse. Hubert was sleeping. We immediately started to disconnect the old ice maker and have it removed so that we could replace it with the new one. I stayed there for about an hour and a half until 6 o'clock while the new one was still being installed and I had to leave. Senator Humphrey was still sleeping, and although Muriel offered to wake him up to thank me, I told her I preferred that she wouldn't, as long as the senator was sleeping comfortably. I wished Muriel the very best Christmas possible and told her that the ice maker was a Christmas gift from my wife, Lorian, and myself. I kissed her goodbye and left. It is interesting to note that later the two men finished the installation about 7:30, and just before leaving, the senator awoke from his rest, came into the kitchen, met the plumber and the electrician, and cheerfully wished them both a happy holiday season. So much for that. Now back to our phone conversation. When I finally located a tape and my recorder in one of the far corners of my desk, I immediately hooked it up to my telephone. So what you hear next is the last part of our very interesting and treasured conversation that I had with this great man. As the conversation begins on the tape, Senator Humphrey is telling me about having a few drinks, which included ice cubes from their new ice maker.
I say, I've been sitting here sipping out a little Spiritus Frumenti, and we got a new ice maker.
Really?
And guess who sent that? Santa Claus Ross.
How about that?
I got it. I thought Santa Claus was fat with big whiskers and everything else, and he turns out to be a good-looking, sleek, chick-looking young fellow. Yeah, you're some guy.
But you know, Senator, you are the one, and I really, really mean it.
Well,
I drove over to Waverly, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought about all the good times. I thought about all the hard work.
Yeah.
I remembered you coming over to Carl Polad's house. You were tired. You were up all night.
I know.
I remember how we struggled for you, how we...
I know.
I remember so well. And
why do I ever remember?
Oh, my God.
Well, listen, friend. Those are days gone by, and those are days we'll remember. And happy days.
But you know, Senator, I want to do something special for you.
Well,
I know you got hundreds of bouquets of flowers. You must have thousands of cards.
Yes,
but
yes,
someplace,
yes.
Somewhere, something that I've got to do in your honor, and I want you to tell me in your lifetime, which I hope will be another 10, 15, 20 years. God bless you. But I want to do something in your honor, and I need your blessing, but you've got to tell me what it's got to be.
Public Affairs Institute at the university they're going to establish in my honor.
Senator, that's beautiful, but I want to do something that we can touch. I want to see the faces. I want the people to taste it. I want them to hear it and see it. I want them to feel it in honor of the most beautiful man that ever lived, and that's you.
Think of something.
I want to think of something we can do. It doesn't have to be big, but I want it nice. And money is no object. There are a million people who are going to help build the Institute, including myself. But I want something that people can touch, feel, and hear.
Bless your heart. I don't know how to answer. All I'm going to say is you're making me cry. I'm not going to say another damn word.
I know what I can do.
What?
Maybe you can help me. Let's do it for Muriel. She deserves it.
Yes.
I've watched her walk behind you all the time, and she was there to support.
You betcha.
We've got to do something. How are you feeling today, Sam?
I'm feeling so much better today, Percy.
Well, your picture in the paper was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
With all your beautiful grandchildren.
I tell you, the Lord was good to me yesterday. I woke up yesterday morning so sick. I've been having the stomach flu and the terrible cramps and diarrhea and God only knows what, plus my cancer. And my gosh, by noontime, I started to perk up, and by the time the kids got out here, I started to be myself again. And I wasn't wild and overreactive, but it was a beautiful day that we had, a lovely dinner, all of our children, grandchildren here, just a beautiful, beautiful day. But when I saw on TV what you did for those kids, I said, by God, now there's a man that understands what it means to be kind. You know, there's nothing that means more to a little boy and girl that age than to have their own little bicycle. Gosh.
I cried, Senator.
Well, it's a good thing to do. Crying is a good way to cleanse the soul.
You know, I wished you could have been there.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there. I'd have been crying my God Almighty that he said, I'll preach the biggest small baby in town.
But you know something? I didn't have the chutzpah. You know what chutzpah means in Jewish. I didn't have the nerve to ask you. I did ask Skip, and I did ask Nancy Lee, and I did ask Bruce, and boy, we all agreed the senator needs his rest. And boy, I couldn't, you know, I
was in no shape to be out, honestly.
Of course.
Boy. But just remember, I'll always remember the kindness that you demonstrated on that Christmas day. That is one of the finest acts of kindness and charity and goodness that I've ever known.
I'm overwhelmed, Senator.
Well, bless your heart. You just take care of yourself. And if you need me sometime, I hope I can be of some help, some way to repay you for some of the many wonderful things you've done for me.
Senator, I'm only sorry I couldn't have done more.
Well,
I wanted you as our president.
I know it.
And I've got a letter to you. I don't think it ever got to you, but if you ever read it, that's a tearjerker because you should have been our man.
Well, thank you, Percy. Thank you.
The last thing I said in my letter, it's already 14 months old. I said, Senator, we please, please take care of your health because this is the most important thing in the world.
Well, that's nice of you.
And that was right after you left Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we all love you. You're the most admired man in the world today, and
well,
I am so fortunate to be considered among your many friends.
I'm going to let you in on a secret today. I've had telephone calls from the President, the Vice President, Gerry Ford, Richard Nixon, and you. How do you like that?
Oh, my God.
That's a fact.
I'm so proud. I'm just so proud. I don't know what to say.
That's a fact. I couldn't get your... I wanted to get your number yesterday so badly. But I'm glad you don't have it listed. You're crazy.
That's right.
But I figured I know Percy will be at work today. There's no doubt about that.
I'm planning my next party.
Planning the next one. I know you are. Oh, you're something.
You know who I want to give my next party for?
What?
You can't come, by the way.
Huh?
You can't come to my next party.
Oh, I can't.
You're married. I want to give a party for singles.
Uh-huh.
And I want Edishir Zahedi here to come to my next party.
He'll come. I'll ask him.
Would you do that?
Yeah, I sure would.
Collins Bird said he will ask, but I'd rather have you ask him if he'll come.
I'm here. I wouldn't. He's an old friend of mine.
I know that.
The Iranian ambassador.
Yes, from Iran.
Sure, would you? Good Lord, he ought to come on out of here anyway.
But I want him and Joe Namath to be the stars.
Oh, my God. Well, when you go big.
Why not?
Why, that's right. Why not go first class?
If you're going to fly, I want to be like Hubert Humphrey. I'm telling you.
Well, you've done it well, friend. Well, listen, I'm not going to keep any longer except to say thanks for your friendship, for all the good things you do.
But you know what I'd like to do someday, with the proper good taste and in the proper elegance, if all goes well and you can regain your health, you go back to Washington or anywhere, my wife and I would consider it the most honored thing in the whole wide world for us if we could give a nice, not too large, but a small party for you. And I want to invite not my rich friends, because they've always got you, but I want to invite some of my poor friends who knew me when I was real poor, when you helped me in 1946. And on November, I think it was November the 1st, you came, you had not a cashmere sweater because you couldn't afford cashmere in those days. But boy, you were good looking and you were skinny. You came up to my fur auction and you held up that silver fox. And you say, Percy, I'm going to sell it for you. How much am I bid? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you said, all the money I get from this silver fox is going to go to the Sister Kenny Foundation. And that was my mayor. That was my mayor, Hubert Humphrey, who sold that red fox for $85 or whatever you got, and the money went over to the Sister Kenny Foundation.
Ah, bless your heart.
That was my senator in 1946, yep. 31 years ago and 40 days.
Yes, that's
a fact. I'll never forget you.
Yes, sir.
And you came in. Nobody recognized you for a moment.
No, sir.
Oh, you had just become mayor, and I'll never forget it.
Just another boy that wandered in.
But look how far you've came. You've got the admiration of the whole wide world.
Well, thank you so much. Well, take care now today.
Oh, you're such a...
in your goodness.
Thank you, and please, I'm going to call Muriel someday when you're well. We want to have a small party for you, and not all the big shots in town. I want some of the small shots, if you don't mind.
I'd be perfect. You know me well enough to know that I'd like that.
I'll call Muriel and let her tell me when you're ready.
All right, brother.
Please take care of yourself, Senator.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'm speaking for everybody here.
I know that.
And we really, truly love you.
And my best to all of your people and your nice wife and all the folks there. My God. Oh, I'll never forget seeing those kids ride those bikes out of there. My God. Joy, joy, joy. Happy, there was just Christmas happiness all over them. So be good, old buddy.
Thank you, my dear Senator.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
It was snowing in Washington. Air Force One edged to the tarmac at Andrews Air Force Base, where an honor guard was waiting. Then a battery of howitzers fired 19 times as a flag-draped coffin was eased out of the president's plane. Hubert Horatio Humphrey, who died of cancer at 66, was back in Washington for the last time. His body lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda as thousands of mourners paid their last respects. The next morning, Jimmy and Rosalind Carter greeted Mrs. Muriel Humphrey on the steps of the Capitol, and the president escorted her into the rotunda for a memorial service.